You know, as I was getting ready for today, a thought occurred to me. And the thought that occurred to me is one of the great losses of the evangelical church is the ability to party all night. You know, the thing is, our forefathers, the Jews, they knew how to do that. They knew how to cut loose and really party all night because, you see, they understood the importance of joy and the importance of celebrating those things about which we can be joyful. You know, in a way, on this Resurrection Sunday, the passage that we're going to look at is all about this ability and reason to party all night. The passage is John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30, if you have your Bibles with you. And the passage opens with Jesus making an incredible claim. The claim that he is, in fact, the light of the world. It's a familiar passage, and Jesus says it really quite plainly. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." But will have the light of the life. Well, what in the world does that have to do with partying all night and this loss that we need to regain, I think? Well, we need to understand the background of what's going on when Jesus says these words in order to grasp really what's going on. You know, the context within which Jesus said these words was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, about a month and a half ago, Jim and Bob, they explained a lot about the Feast of Tabernacles for you. But let me just refresh your memory because the background is important if we're really to get what Jesus is driving at here. The Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, was this incredible celebration of God leading his people out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. The feast was an incredible time of celebration because they remember that God had led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire or a pillar of light in the night. That God was with them. And they celebrated in several different ways. The main way that we think about them celebrating is that they stayed for that week in tabernacles or in booths or in tents or in lean-tos. And even if you lived in the city, we'd go out and you'd cut down a bunch of branches and we'd build this lean-to on your roof, which is flat on the side of the house. And you'd live in that for a week, kind of like a big week of family camp. And that would remind them that they wandered in the wilderness and lived in temporary shelters for 40 years. Another way that they celebrated is more germane to what we're talking about tonight. It started out happening just on the first night of the feast. But historians tell us it actually carried on so that they began to do it every night of the week. And here's what would happen. In the court of the women in the temple, they would set up these incredible, great big torches. These torches were so big that they'd have four big bowls on each torch, and there'd be ladders leading up to these bowls that the priest would climb, and they'd fill these bowls with oil. Pour all the oil in, and then the wicks of these lamps that they were making were made of the old garments of the priests. So it gives you a bit of a sense of the size. The trousers and of the priest would be bound together, put into this oil lamp, and then they would light this torch on fire. And it was an immense, incredible light that happened. You know, one of the contemporary historians of the time said this: there was no court in Jerusalem that was not bright from the light of that place. Do you get the idea of what he's saying? He's saying that, just imagine this, in the center of Grand Prairie, there are these great big oil lamps. And on the sun went down, these oil lamps would be lit, and every backyard and every house in Grand Prairie would become a light so that people could see from these lights. That's what it was like. Immense, incredible light. And as soon as those wicks caught, as soon as those lights emerged from these lamps, then the celebration would absolutely erupt. Another one, a contemporary writer, said this. Listen to this. Just see if you can imagine what it was like in your mind. He wrote this: "He who has not seen the joy of the place of the water drawing," that's where these lamps were held, in the place of the water drawing, "he who has not seen the joy in the place of the water drawing has never seen joy in his life." That's the sense of joy that was erupting when this happened. So as soon as the light went up, what would happen is that the Levitical band, they would fire up whatever the latest contemporary song would be, and they'd get jamming out on that, and then singing would come forth and singing praises to God, and then what would happen is the men and the women would be separated, and they would dance all night long. With that incredible Jewish dancing that you see on TV, you know, all these different things. It was just an incredible time. And not only in that, but in the midst of that, there was all kinds of entertainment. One writer talks about Rabbi Simon ben Gamaliel. This would be a generation later than Christ. And listen to what it says. Rabbi Simon ben Gamaliel danced with 8 lighted torches without any one of them touching the ground. Do you understand what's going on here? Everyone, you know, they're doing that, or whatever it is, that they, how they dance. They're doing that thing. And then they stop, and out comes this rabbi. And this rabbi, he's got 8 torches. And he's kind of juggling these torches as he's dancing around. And he doesn't drop a one of them. And all the people cheer, and all the people clap. And everyone joins in the singing again. This is what the rabbis wrote. The rabbis wrote this. It is the dream of the righteous to dance all night. That was their goal, was to party and to celebrate all night long. And finally, when everyone was just about dropping with exhaustion, the sun would come up over the horizons, and 2 priests would walk down the temple steps with big horns, and they'd blow these horns, and the dance would end because the party was over, and it was time to go about their daily business until the next night when they did it all over again. They celebrated the light. And this light was so important because it proclaimed to the people at least 4 things. And they lit those torches that lit all of Jerusalem. They were saying 4 things. Number one, they were saying, remember that God delivered us. Remember that God delivered us. Remember that we were slaves, but God, our faithful Yahweh, delivered us. Secondly, it's a proclamation that God is among them. Just as he was among their camp as a pillar of fire in the midst of the wilderness, this light of the lamps proclaimed that Yahweh their God still dwelt amongst them. Thirdly, it proclaimed that God reveals himself to his people. He says, this is who I am. This is what I'm all about. I am your God and you are my people. And fourthly, it celebrated God's salvation. His salvation, that he had saved them, that he had rescued from them from slavery in Egypt, and that he would save them again, rescue them again from the oppression of Rome. No wonder they celebrated when the lights flared up and filled the city of Jerusalem. These 4 things came flooding back to their minds, and the dance of joy and the dance of hope would erupt all around. And it's in the midst of this kind of a celebration that Jesus steps into the middle of the dance. He's not going to do any juggling. Instead, he's going to say, I am the light of the world. I am life. I am joy. I am God among you. I am God's revelation of himself. I am the one that God our Father has sent to guide and lead you. I am the light that shatters the darkness. I am the light that shatters the darkness of your brokenness. I'm the light that shatters the darkness of slavery to bad habits and to sin. I'm going to wreck the darkness of life that is a life without purpose and meaning. I'm just going to wreck that darkness because I'm going to give you a purpose and a meaning that goes beyond all time. I am the light of the world. I am life eternal. And the joy that you're having right now is a responsive joy for who I am and what I'm all about. And I am the reason to sing and to dance and to party all night long. You know, that's quite a claim. That's quite a claim. No wonder the Pharisees responded as they did. No wonder they asked the question, well, who do you think you are? Verse 13, the Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. And then it goes on, and there's a whole argument that follows in the next verses, which is really quite complicated and confusing and rather technical. So let me just see if I can sort of sum it up for you. It's a question of witnesses. which suits for the Gospel of John, because remember the whole thing is set up like a court of law where you are making judgment about whether or not Jesus is who he said he is. You see, Jewish law said, in order for something to be established as true, it needs to be done by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so what's happening is Jesus is standing forth and he's saying, I'm the light of the world. I'm what this party is all about. And they're saying, hey, you can't make that claim. Where are your witnesses? You're testifying for yourself. And obviously you can't testify for yourself. Somebody else, another two people have to say that this is who you are. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of bunk. And Jesus says, listen, I'm going to explain something to you. I'm going to say two things to you. Number one, no other human being can witness for me. Because you see, I come from the very throne room of God. I come from the heavens. And there's no other human beings that can give that testimony because they didn't see that. They don't know that. And number two, there is a second witness. I'm my own witness, and I'm the only valid human witness because I'm the only one that was there that's a human. And number two, my second witness is God himself. God who sent me. But because you don't really know God, you won't believe his testimony. And in the midst of this discussion, we realize that Jesus gives a warning. He says, it's great to party, it's great to fun, it's great to celebrate all these things, but let me give you this warning. Verse 23 and following. You're from below, that's you're from earth, and I'm from above. You're from this world, and I'm not of this world. I've told you that you would die in your sins if you don't believe that I'm he. You will indeed die in your sins if you don't believe that I'm the light of the world. Then you'll be separated from the Father for all eternity. That's what death really is. If you don't believe this. If you don't recognize that I'm the light of the world, you'll not be dancing with joy. You will in fact die in your sins. And they still don't get it. They still don't understand. They're still arguing back. And so Jesus brings for us the words that bring us to Easter. And why this is a text to look at on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus says, when I'm lifted up, then you're going to know what's going on. Listen to it carefully. Verse 27. They still didn't understand what he was telling them about their father. So Jesus said this. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he and that I do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many put their faith, put their trust in him. Jesus says, you want to know the pathway to joy. You want to understand the reason to party and dance and sing all night. It's all wrapped up in this phrase, lifted up, which has at least a double meaning. The first meaning of being lifted up is what we remembered just a few days ago on Good Friday. And that lifted up has to do with Jesus being lifted up on a cross. The Son of God being nailed to a tree, lifted up and slid into a slot on the top of a hill so that sin could be piled on top of him. So that all the sin of the world, all the sin that we have done, all the sin that our ancestors have done, all the sins that our children before us have done, all become concentrated on Jesus. Every wrong thing that we've done, every good thing we've failed to do, every wrong motivation we've acted under, all of that sin is piled upon Jesus. In fact, the Bible says, he who had no sin, that's Jesus, became sin, took so much sin upon himself, he became the symbol of sin itself. Why? So that we could have a right relationship with God. When I'm lifted up, says Jesus, then you'll begin to see the darkness that is in the world, the sin that would crucify as a man who only came to love people. You will see that. And that's what we remember on Good Friday. But there's a second meaning to this phrase, lifted up. It's the lifting up of the resurrection. Because Jesus was not only lifted up on a tree, he was lifted up out of death. He was lifted up out of a tomb. He was lifted up out of hopelessness. He was lifted up out of defeat and given new life, resurrected by the Spirit, new life again, resurrected, lifted up. And then he ascended on high to sit at the right hand of the Father to plead our case and to be our representative. This is the lifting up of Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus conquered death, that he ascended to before all people to sit at the right hand of God. And that is the reason for joy, that our sin is conquered, our sin is done away with, Our separation from God no longer is the only option that we have, but instead he is lifted up to new life so that we are also lifted up to new life and have a reason to dance all night. The Holy Spirit took these words of Jesus and somehow pierced the hearts of those who'd listened. And it says many put their faith, put their trust, put their life in his hands that day. And this is the invitation offered to each and every single one of us. To come into Jesus' joy. To have a reason to party, not just all night, not just all of the rest of our days on earth, but into all eternity. Because Jesus Christ was lifted up on the cross for our sin, into glory for our life. And our prayer this Easter is that this truth would be rekindled in our hearts, or maybe kindled in your heart for the first time. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this great truth that Jesus was lifted up so that we would know who he is, so that we would know that he is in fact the light of life, that he is in fact you dwelling with us, that he is in fact proclamation and guidance of your truth, that he is your salvation. So Father, we rejoice in this. And I pray that this truth would so sink into our hearts that we would rediscover, for those of us who may have lost it, that we would rediscover the sense of celebration, the sense of dancing all night long, that the desire of the righteous, the desire of those in right relationship with God, would be to dance with joy all night until we see that new day when Christ returns and we look upon you face to face. We thank you for this hope. In Christ's name, amen.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Singing to the Lord of love, Lord of light.
Joyful.